It's all quiet in the underground bunker. Doors closed, locks bolted. But the Great One isn't just resting on his laurels. He's making sure your weekend is even better by giving you his best. This is the best of Mark Levin.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, where to start? There's so much crap flying around and slamming up against the wall by this administration and others, it's hard to know where to start cleaning. But start we will. And I want to start with Bernie Sanders. Bernie Sanders is a communist. He's always been a communist. He's always been on the wrong side of liberty versus tyranny, good versus evil. He backed the Soviet Union against the United States. He backed Castro against the freedom fighters. He backed Nicaragua and other communist regimes in our hemisphere. He's backed the communists. He's also backed the Palestinian terrorists. And he has said almost nothing about the Iranian terrorists. Because Bernie Sanders is a Marxist. Bernie Sanders pretends he's a democratic socialist. No, he's a Marxist. There's really no such thing as a democratic socialist any more than there's such a thing as a progressive. These are terms. This is phony nomenclature that they come up to try and conceal and camouflage what they are and what they believe. Bernie Sanders' ideology has resulted in the murder, the slaughter of over 100 million human beings. 25% of the population of Cambodia, 60 million people in China, 40 million people in Russia, tens of thousands in Cuba, it's going on now in Venezuela, Nicaragua, and it goes on and on and on. This is who Bernie Sanders is. He's not circumspect. He doesn't back off. He's an old communist. That's what he is. He's been wrong on everything. He's been anti-American on everything. So siding with Marxists, siding with terrorists, siding with genocidal regimes of every kind, while attacking his own country, while trashing his own country, while undermining his own country, and trying to paint you and me, the American people, and our ancestors as horrendous, awful, terrible human beings. And Bernie Sanders isn't even an honest communist. He's enriched himself. He's a multimillionaire. He doesn't live the life that he seeks to impose on everybody else. He left New York, and he lives in Vermont. I have nothing against Vermont. It's one of the nicest places you'll ever see. But why would he go to Vermont? Why doesn't he live the life that he says everybody else should live? That is, why doesn't he live in the inner cities of America? Why doesn't he enjoy the lifestyle that they have in communist China? Or communist Cuba? Or communist Venezuela? Or Islamist Iran, or Islamist Gaza. No, he sits on his fat ass, comfortable in the United States of America, in Vermont, and your honor, your senator, spewing his murderous, genocidal propaganda. And ask yourselves why CNN and MSNBC constantly bring this old bag of red lard on their programs to advance his agenda. Why do they do that? Why don't they dismiss him as the communist, hateful man that he actually is? Because they agree with him. Biden embraces him. Biden has embraced his entire agenda. Biden is surrounded by communists associated with Bernie Sanders, other radicals associated with Obama. That's who's making these decisions. Then you have this guy, Anthony Blinken, whose parents are bought and paid for by George Soros. He's a Marxist. He's also a traitor. Oh, Mark, don't say these things. What do you mean? I'll say everything because it's true. So Bernie Sanders has learned from Chairman Mao. He's learned from Chairman Stalin. He's learned from Chairman Castro. He's learned from the communists that he has so idolized over the decades. And what has he learned? He's learned what Saul Alinsky taught so many students, like Obama and Hillary Clinton. Target, personalize, and destroy. Target, personalize, and destroy. Target Netanyahu, personalize Netanyahu, destroy Netanyahu, even though Bernie Sanders' problem is with the state of Israel. Even though Bernie Sanders' problem is with the Jews in Israel. And don't tell me he's a Jew. He was born a Jew, but he's no more a Jew than Rashida Tlaib, with whom he agrees and she with him. You all have people like this in your own faiths. Bernie Sanders puts his ideology and party ahead of everything else. Ahead of family, ahead of faith, ahead of country. And if it means trashing America to advance his ideology, he'll do it. He's done it his whole damn life, his useless, pathetic life. And here he is again. Here he is again on CNN with Dana Bash, who's also Jewish by birth. So she gives a platform. All the people they can interview on their Sunday show, they pick Bernie Sanders. Why? Because they know he's a Jew hater. He's an Israel hater. He's a Tlaib lover. He's an Islamist lover. He's a Marxist. So CNN puts him on. Why? To attack either Trump or Netanyahu. That's why. CNN is useless. It's pathetic. Look at their hosts. Look at their hosts. So, Dana Bash starts with a clip from Ilhan Omar. Ilhan Omar, a racist bigot, an America-hating Islamist, a Jew-hating anti-Semite. Dana Bash plays a clip from her and then invites Bernie Sanders on to discuss it? You're disgusting, Dana Bash. You're an embarrassment to the whole country. You're pathetic. That's why you get no ratings. On top of that, you're stupid. You have a low IQ, which is mandatory over there at CNN and MSNBC, and especially The View. Cut one, go.
I think it is really unfortunate that people don't care about the fact that all Jewish kids should be kept safe and that we should not have to tolerate anti-Semitism or bigotry for all Jewish students, whether they are pro-genocide or anti-genocide.
Stop. Whether they're pro-genocide. I am in discussions now, almost negotiations, to play a video on my weekend show. And apparently the lawyers are looking at this. That's about 45 seconds long. Oh, maybe it's longer than that, actually. And it's not the worst videos of what took place on October 7th, of the hundreds of naked girls, the mass rapes, the bullet wounds to their genitalia, the slashing of their breasts, the removal of their hands and their feet. Do you realize this took place at that Nova Festival where these kids were there? 17, 18, 19, 20, 21? Liberal kids. Many of whom believe in a two-state solution. Many of whom oppose Netanyahu. How they were brutalized and slaughtered? Isn't it interesting that cable networks don't want to show you that? They'll keep showing you loops of destruction of buildings in Gaza. Why won't they show us what took place? Why won't they show us? Now, whether they or anybody else will, I have posted it on my social sites, this relatively short clip. And you know what you're going to see? You're going to see kids who are the age of your kids, or maybe the age of your grandchildren, lying everywhere, dead, with bullet wounds to the back, Bullet wounds to their face. Bullet wounds to their chests. It reminds me of my own kids. I'm looking at it. Tears are coming down my face. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Look at this. Look at this. Utterly unprovoked. Utterly unprovoked. They send in a couple of thousand of these animals. These subhuman monsters. These sadistic animals. Who are raping and brutalizing and murdering on the spot, cold-blooded. These kids, kids. If this happens anywhere in the world, we ought to be appalled by this. And the people who are responsible for this are hiding out in Rafah on the Gaza Strip. They're hiding out in tunnels with four well-armed top battalions of Palestinian terrorists. They're surrounded. The IDF has waited more than a month now to attack them because Biden and Blinken are not happy with the proposals that Israel is having to provide to our government to allow it to attack, to wipe these bastards off the face of the earth so they can enjoy their afterlife and their 72 virgins rather than raping and pillaging right here on the planet. And all I get from our media and the Democrats are the lies. They use the very people who did this put out lies about civilian casualties. Now it's up to 35,000. It's a lie. 35,000? There's been a ceasefire for 5 weeks. And every statistician who's looked at this objectively has said it's not possible. And it's not. So why does this administration keep using those numbers? Why do Biden and Blinken use the numbers? Why does Nancy Pelosi use these numbers? Why does Bernie Sanders use these numbers? Why do CNN and MSNBC use these numbers? I'll tell you why. Because anti-Americanism and anti-Semitism, American hatred and Jew hatred, go hand in hand, and they go very, very deep into Bernie Sanders' very small cranium, as well as Dana Bash, Jake Tapper, and the other lowlives. They are loathsome. They are loathsome. For Dana Bash to set up the clip with Ilhan Omar and what she said, and then she asks a question like she's saying, these Jews, they're pro-genocide. Do you agree with that? She knows what Sanders is going to say. I'll prove it to you. Go.
Some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Are you comfortable with that?
I'm sorry, someone?
She said some Jewish students are pro-genocide. Is that something?
So let me ask you something, Dana, but why do you even play that? I mean, I'm playing it to expose you. But you're not playing it to expose her and these people because you brought in Bernie Sanders to respond to this. Bernie Sanders and Ilhan Omar stand hip to hip. But anyway, go ahead.
That.
Well, I don't know exactly. Look, what I think the essential point that Ilhan made is that we do not want to see anti-Semitism in this country. And I think the word genocide is something that is being determined by the International Court of Justice. But this
so
is
stop. So he wouldn't denounce her, did he, Mr. Producer? He didn't denounce her. So he's going to the International Court of Justice because the Democrats in this administration are using the ICC, which is a radical left-wing globalist so-called court in The Hague, where we have no representation and where we do not acknowledge any jurisdiction, and neither does Israel, because the radical left-wing prosecutor there, who's chosen by radical left-wing Europeans, Jew-hating, American-hating, Israeli-hating left-wing Europeans, are planning on issuing arrest warrants for the Prime Minister of Israel and his senior staff. And what has this administration done? What has it said? Almost nothing. It's left to the Speaker of the House. It's left the Republicans in the House, Republicans in the Senate. You don't hear any Democrats condemning this. Why? because Netanyahu's the boogeyman. They use his name, they use his position. But what they're really saying is, destroy the state of Israel. Our voters demand it.
Mark Levin.
In today's digital age, where cyber threats loom larger than ever, safeguarding your personal information is paramount. So why is Congress considering a law that could put your credit card data at greater risk of being hacked and exposed to foreign networks? This Durbin-Marshall credit card bill could jeopardize your financial data, make it more susceptible to cyber intrusions. It's a controversial bill that proposes a shift in billions of dollars worth of consumer transactions to payment networks that lack the robust security measures consumers rely on. Who could possibly want that? Well, the answer, woke corporate megastores seeking to inflate their multi-billion dollar profit margins. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill will undermine our safe and convenient payment systems and endanger your data security. It's time to take a stand. Visit electronicpaymentscoalition.org. Make your voice heard. Tell your senators to oppose the radical Durbin-Marshall credit card bill, paid for by the Electronic Payments Coalition.
Making your weekend even better. This is the best of Mark Levin.
Here we are, America. CBS News. The Biden White House considers welcoming some Palestinians from war-torn Gaza as refugees. The Biden administration is considering bringing certain Palestinians to the U.S. as refugees, a move that would offer a permanent safe haven to some of those fleeing war-torn Gaza, according to internal federal government documents obtained by CBS News. In recent weeks, the documents show senior officials across several federal U.S. agencies have discussed the practicality of different options to resettle Palestinians from Gaza who have immediate family members who are American citizens or permanent residents. I guess Dearbornistan comes to mind. One of these proposals involves using the decades-old United States Refugee Admissions Program to welcome Palestinians with U.S. ties who've managed to escape Gaza and enter neighboring Egypt, according to the interagency planning documents. As is typical, they're taking the law and trying to squeeze their fact pattern into it. There is no lawful way to do this. Congress has not sanctioned this. There's no statutory authority whatsoever. More on that in a minute. Top U.S. officials have also discussed getting additional Palestinians out of Gaza, processing them as refugees if they have American relatives, the documents show. The plans would require coordination with Egypt, which has so far refused to welcome large numbers of people from Gaza. Those who pass a series of eligibility, medical, and security screenings would qualify to fly to the United States with refugee status, which offers beneficiaries permanent residency, resettlement benefits like housing assistance, and a path to American citizenship. While the eligible population is expected to be relatively small, the plans being discussed by U.S. officials could offer a lifeline to some Palestinians fleeing the Israeli-Hamas war, which local public health officials, listen to this, say has claimed the lives of more than 34,000 people. Local public health officials. This is CBS, The Hill. They use these statistics without mentioning Hamas, so now it's local public health officials. My God, the media in this country is sick. The Israeli government launched a military, then they go on attacking Israel. But the headline here, ladies and gentlemen, is that the Biden-Blinken administration, the regime, is plotting and planning to bring in an unknown number of Palestinians from Gaza into the United States to immediately put them on the path to citizenship, to give them benefits of refugees. And they have done this in secret without any statutory authority from Congress. We're living under a Biden dictatorship. He's destroying the coal mines and the jobs of coal miners. No statute was passed. They just have done it by regulatory fiat. That's right. They are destroying oil drilling and refining. Is there a statute based for that? No. They're doing it by regulatory fiat. automobiles are being destroyed. That is, gas-powered automobiles are being regulated out of existence for electric automobiles. There's no statutory authority for this. Women's sports are being destroyed with this executive order from Joe Biden in violation of Title IX of the Civil Rights Act. He just did it. No statutory authority whatsoever. Open borders, bypassing the southern border, flying illegal aliens into the country without any authorization from Congress. None. Our entire immigration system, on the contrary, is in defiance of federal law. Student loan forgiveness. No law for student loan forgiveness. In fact, it's in defiance of a Supreme Court decision that says the opposite. American foreign policy has been drastically changed to support Iran, Hamas, the PLO, to support terrorism in the Middle East, to try and destroy the independent sovereign state of Israel, the only Jewish state on the face of the earth that was formed after the Holocaust. There is no statutory authority for what Joe Biden is doing in the Middle East. In fact, he's waiving the sanctions that were in place to stop the Hitlerians in the Middle East, the Iranians. And I could go on. Saving democracy? You're living under a tyrant as I speak. You're living under a dictator as I speak. In fact, Elizabeth Warren has been urging repeatedly Joe Biden to rule by executive order, to rule by regulatory fiat. That is exactly what he's doing. In fact, they have a whole slew of federal fiats, executive orders, regulatory fiats prepared to go should Joe Biden lose the election in November. They're ready to roll. In fact, they issued one the other day to prevent an incoming Trump administration from using several thousand slots that are available for political appointees. They're taking actions right now to create basically a civil service devourment, if you will, of those positions so they can forever institute their agenda regardless of the election results. I thought you'd want to know that your federal government, the Biden regime, is plotting to bring Palestinians into this country. And they're doing it under the cover of darkness. Congress is unaware of this. This leak to CBS News. Now that takes place without authority of any kind. What do you make of that, America? The Egyptians don't want these people. The Jordanians don't want these people. The Syrians don't want these people. There's not a single Arab country in the Middle East that wants these people. Why is that? And so we're going to import individuals into this country who have a belief system, and I'm not talking about Islam, a belief system that they were indoctrinated with as babies, to hate Jews and to hate America. We're going to import these people into America, into a system that no longer, in the American system, assimilates people into our culture. Rather, we embrace all the cultures from which these people are fleeing. Isn't that amazing? Anthony Blinken is in the Middle East today. Why? To spread more wildfires. What's he doing? He is providing the elected Prime Minister of Israel, who he is trying to depose, who he's trying with the International Criminal Court, a corrupt left-wing European enterprise where we don't recognize its jurisdiction, and neither do the Israelis. This ICC wants to issue arrest warrants against Netanyahu and his senior staff. And you know who's behind it? Biden and Blinken. You know how I know? They're not objecting. They're not opposing it. This guy Kirby, this Goebbels-like Kirby, his propaganda, this filthy liar, this psychopath, whether it's Afghanistan and now this, he says, we don't interfere with the judicial activities of other courts and so forth. Sure you do, a-hole. You're the one that pushed them to issue an arrest warrant on Putin. Like it or not, You were involved in the judicial process in the ICC, you liar. So we have in America right now a president who rules by fiat, in violation of Supreme Court decisions, in violation of federal law, undermining, usurping our constitutional system, affecting every corner of our economy, every corner of our foreign policy, every aspect of this society. If that's not a definition of a dictator, then what the hell is? Then what the hell is? This is why Biden and Blinken and the others are sitting back. And let me tell you something. They're enjoying what's happening in these colleges and universities. The Democrat Party billionaires like Soros and others, as I was the first to report, begging the other news organizations to start reporting what's taking place. The Hamas financial network, Qatar, Soros, Rockefeller Brothers Fund, Tides Foundation, and so many more, funding this counter-revolution, this Marxist-Islamist counter-revolution. They're all fascists, you want to know the truth, but that's it. What's going on our college campuses? They're sitting back, Biden and Blinken, Blinken being a Marxist, his family, bought and paid for by Soros. It's all there. Google it. It's all there. Even Google can't conceal it and censor it. Take a look. Sitting back, enjoying what they're doing. Let me tell you why. Biden believes that the 2020 riots, listen to me carefully, this will be regurgitated by some plagiarist hack at some point, because Biden believes that part of the reason he quote-unquote won in 2020 was due to the riots in the summer of 2020, that he was able to get out his base. That's right. Able to get out his base, the Marxists and the Islamists and others. Black Lives Matter, Antifa, the counter-revolutionaries to the American Revolution. With the help of the media, they were mainstreaming what was going on. And he believes he was able to fire up his base. Minority communities, wealthy white punks that go to college, and their ilk. That's what he did. That's what he believes happened. And they're doing it again. Hello! They're doing it right now. 2024. Many of the same rioters. Many of the same dark money billionaires. The same propagandists in the media. Trying to turn out his vote. Trying to turn out his vote. He feels his ass is covered with the Jewish community because he has Blinken, who's half Jewish. Because he has Thomas Friedman, who is a self-hater. Because he has Jake Tapper in his back pocket, another self-hater. He's got billionaires like Sabin, like Soros, like Spielberg, all helping him and supporting him. And he believes those people, these elitist, self-hating buffoons who have influence and money, that they somehow will represent the entire Jewish community. So he feels he's got that wrapped up. But what he needs is Dearbornistan. What he needs is a big turnout. A big turnout by the Islamists, by the Bernie Sanders Marxists. That's what he's relying on. He's relying on union bosses who are selling out their union members to these extremists, hate America, anti-Semite bigots. And so why wouldn't he import Palestinians from Gaza? He's importing communist Chinese from China. He's importing individuals into this country from all walks of life, MS-13, Venezuelan gangs. He knows he's doing it. Power, baby. Power, that's all that matters. The people in Chicago, the black communities in particular, might be upset, but he figures they have nowhere to go. They're going to vote for him. He figures in New York, sure, the people in New York City are upset, but he figures, what the hell? They've been voting Democrat for more than half a century. They're going to continue to do it. And he might be right. That's the calculation. And to keep Trump tied up in court. And I want to get to this stinking, rotten, pathetic judge in a moment. But that's what's going on in your country this evening, America.
Mark Levin.
Seeking the truth never gets old. Introducing June's Journey, the free-to-play mobile game that will immerse you in a thrilling murder mystery. Join June Parker as she uncovers hidden objects and clues to solve her sister's death in a beautifully illustrated world set in the roaring 20s. With new chapters added every week, the excitement never ends. Download June's Journey now on your Android or iOS device, or play on PC through Facebook Games.
You're listening to the best of Mark Levin.
1969, America. There was a real governor. You may have heard of him, Ronald Reagan. And there were riots, especially centered at Berkeley. And in the end, he sent in the National Guard to take back the administrative building that the rioters, the Marxists, had taken over. I believe one, maybe two students ultimately died. He'd given them the opportunity. He didn't wait for the college administrators to ask for help. He told them that this in part is state property and it's funded by the state. These are citizens, many of them anyway, of the state. First it was the local cops, then it was the state troopers, then it was the National Guard. We love Reagan around here for a reason. And by the way, in his diary, Ronald Reagan did not say a lot of negative things about anybody, but he detested Joe Biden. Our buddy Craig Shirley will tell you that's one of the people he was very negative about in his diaries. Despised him as a character assassin, as a low IQ demagogue. And boy, was he right. So I'm going to post it. I posted it in 2017, America. So we'll retweet what we posted in 2017, Mr. Producer will. So that's out there now. Now I want to play for you a montage. I believe it was put together by the Daily Caller 4 or 5 years ago, of how Reagan reacted to, quote unquote, mostly peaceful protesters. Go.
Days in advance that if the university sought to go ahead with that construction, they were going to physically destroy the university.
Why did you negotiate many times?
Negotiate? What is to negotiate? What is?
The university is a public institution.
That's right. But the university,
its own community, and for the community of Berkeley that live around it.
All of it began the first time some of you who know better and are old enough to know better let young people think that they had the right to choose the laws they would obey as long as they were doing it in the name of social protest.
I'm sick and tired of the argument about whether some effort to enforce law and order is going to escalate anything at all. Plain truth of the matter is this has to stop, and it has to stop like the day before yesterday.
I would like to propose that the issue is that on the campuses, you who are adults, you who are entrusted with those young people and their guidance, have a responsibility to make it plain to them from the very beginning that you yourselves do not tolerate the kind of conduct that has led to the burning of Wheeler Hall, that has led to two murders on the campus of UCLA.
You created an atmosphere on campus where no one wants to listen. No.
You are a liar.
I have read and I have been questioned since I've been here about certain demonstrations against my coming. And I would like to say just one thing, and to those who demonstrate so. I wonder if they have ever asked themselves that if they should have the kind of government they apparently seek, no one would ever be able to do what they're doing again.
Anything, and I have a feeling that if you check closely on some of the more militant of those leaders who are advocating violence, you will find that if you settle whatever issue it is that has them worked up today, they'll be back tomorrow morning with another issue. But I think the time has come for them to make a choice. and to decide whether they want to continue to even tolerate these false prophets in their midst, who are, if anything, destroying their own community.
I don't think that taking to the streets and rioting and disorder has ever solved anything or ever will.
Those who would trade our freedom for the soup kitchen of the welfare state have told us they have a utopian solution of peace without victory. They call their policy accommodation. And they say if we'll only avoid any direct confrontation with the enemy, he'll forget his evil ways and learn to love us. All who oppose them are indicted as warmongers. They say we offer simple answers to complex problems. Well, perhaps there is a simple answer. Not an easy answer, but simple. If you and I have the courage to tell our elected officials that we want our national policy based on what we know in our hearts is morally right, we cannot buy our security, our freedom from the threat of the bomb, by committing an immorality so great as saying to a billion human beings now enslaved behind the Iron Curtain, give up your dreams of freedom, because to save our own skins, we're willing to make a deal with your slave masters.
Recently, in some places in the nation, there's been a disturbing reoccurrence of bigotry and violence. If I may, from the platform of this organization, known for its tolerance, I would like to address a few remarks to those groups who still adhere to senseless racism and religious prejudice. To those individuals who persist in such hateful behavior, if I were speaking to them instead of to you, I would say to them, you are the ones who are out of step with our society. You are the ones who willfully violate the meaning of the dream that is America. And this country, because it's such what it stands for, will not stand for your conduct.
There are cities in Michigan. Shut up.
The great Ronald Reagan. The media hated him, too. The media hated Reagan, too. But the people loved him. I want you to step back. You heard what Reagan had to say. What has Biden said? Nothing. I want you to listen to me carefully. I will come under attack and I don't care. Biden is all for what's taking place on our college campuses. He's using it to threaten Netanyahu and that government. Blinken is a Soros Marxist. He's a traitor. That's why he hired Robert Malley to negotiate the nuke deal. Robert Malley, a special pleader for Iran, who in turn hired individuals who are back-channeling to the foreign minister of Iran. This is in the Biden administration. It makes the Aldra Hiss case look like a joke. This is the Joe Biden that has our borders wide open purposely to destroy the American culture. You can't possibly assimilate people into this country when you have waves over 10 million coming across the border. Arthur Schlesinger Jr. knew it. Wrote a book, Disuniting America. I point him out because he was a big liberal from Harvard who advised Kennedy and Johnson, as was his father, a big liberal, who advised Alvin Barkley. You had Governor Lamb. We played for you what he said about open borders. A Democrat, a liberal, but not a lunatic from Colorado. This used to be the official position of the Democrat Party. Cesar Chavez. I played that audio for you. He called illegal aliens wetbacks. He called them that. And he and his union members, like militia, used to walk the southern border and report any illegal aliens to then the old INS, Immigration and Naturalization Service, so they would be captured and deported on the spot. Walter Mondale, Ralph Abernathy, the right hand to then assassinated Martin Luther King, Southern Christian leadership. They walked the line against illegal immigrants. The official position of almost all unions in this country was to oppose illegal immigration as undermining labor rights and working conditions. When you have a border wide open and 10 to 11 million people coming into this country, where there's no formal process for assimilation. None. None. You're destroying your country. There is no country. There's no sovereignty. There's no culture. There's nothing. Now, why would somebody do that? He does it because he wants to do it. You see what's happening on our college campuses. Joe Biden hasn't said anything to calm anything down. Joe Biden has been pouring fuel on these fires. Constant attacks on the Jewish state in the Middle East. Constant attacks on the Jewish prime minister in Israel. Constant blood libels about the Jewish state slaughtering tens of thousands of innocent Palestinian civilians. Using Hamas's numbers, a terrorist organization that used to be on our terrorist watch list. And now even the media covers it up. They won't even say it's Hamas numbers anymore. We now have Hamas leaders, Hamas. We have Iranian leaders. We have terrorist organizations, terrorist regimes celebrating, congratulating the people who are trying to destroy our country from within. They love Joe Biden and Antony Blinken. The first president to recognize the new state of Israel was Harry Truman. We've gone a long way from Harry Truman to Joe Biden. Long way. What's taking place is appalling. And it's intentional. The border's open. It is intentional. They're now plotting in secret to bring in Palestinian refugees, quote unquote, from Gaza. Intentional. They want the elected, democratically elected Prime Minister of Israel deposed. And they think every day on ways to try and do that. Now they're working behind the scenes. I know these bastards. With the International Criminal Court, a vile, radical, left-wing European court whose jurisdiction does not apply to the United States because Trump said no, whose jurisdiction has never applied to the state of Israel because all of the anti-Semite Jew haters who work at the UN, who are represented at the UN, also file these complaints against Israel with the ICC. Biden hasn't spoken out against it. Blinken hasn't spoken out against it. No definitive statement. Why? Because they want him to be the recipient of an arrest warrant for war crimes. Now, what do you think that's going to do in the Arab and Muslim worlds? What do you think that's going to do throughout Europe? Massively increase the wave of Jew hatred and anti-Semitism, like we haven't seen since the Third Reich, except this time it's intercontinental. That's Joe Biden. He has no compunction about humanity. None. The biggest slaver in the history of the United States for what's going on at the southern border. No compunction whatsoever. Destroying women's sports. No compunction whatsoever. He doesn't care. Americans left in Afghanistan, allies, they're being slaughtered. They're being picked off. People who sided with us. He could care less. October 7th. He goes to Israel, he gives him a big hug, but what you don't see is the stiletto in his hand. All for show. When's the last time Biden talked about what happened on October 7th? And then they start their moral equivalency. Yes, but they're terrorists, you see. Unlike Israel, Israel's a Western democracy. That's right. So Western democracy should be destroyed by terrorists. They lie about the food, the provisions that are being provided to Gaza more than ever before, more than before October 7th. And we have Palestinians themselves saying Hamas is stealing the stuff and reselling it at confiscatory rates in order to fund their war machine. Utterly ignored by CNN, MSNBC, the Hill newspaper, CBS. We're facing the greatest, most horrendous example of American media propaganda in American history. In American history. This is the same Joe Biden who sent his number three at the Department of Justice the same one, to Letitia James to try and bankrupt Trump, who then moves on to Alvin Bragg's case to try and imprison Donald Trump. We have a rogue judge, a horrendous, horrendous judge who works for Alvin Bragg, who works for the prosecution, who works for the Democrat Party, ultimately the Biden administration. Doing what they're doing to your nominee. By the way, where's Nikki Haley in all this? What a gutless, self-aggrandizing narcissist she turned out to be. She thinks she's going to position herself for 2028 where my dead body. Joe Biden has set this country on fire intentionally. He's thrown in with Bernie Sanders. I spent a lot of time on this yesterday. Bernie Sanders is a Stalinist. He would argue he's a Trotskyite. I can explain the difference, but there's no point. The Trotskyites were the most pure of the Marxists. But he turned out to be a Stalinist. He gave up his Trotskyite affiliation when he left the kibbutz in Israel. And he embraced the old Soviet Union. This is who Joe Biden is thrown in with.
Mark Levin. The Great One makes your weekend even better. This is the best of Mark Levin.
Red-blooded Americans are waking up. We've had about enough of the Marxists and the Islamists. We've had enough of their anti-Americanism. We've had enough of their anti-Semitism. We've had enough of their supporters in the Democrat Party. We've had enough of their supporter in the Oval Office, of their supporter at the State Department. Many of you are veterans. Many of you are family members of individuals who fought in World War II. Well, they're back. The Soviet Marxists and the Hitlerian Islamists. And I've been saying over and over and over again, here on Fox, on Blaze, the fusion between the Marxists and the Islamists. It's here. 3 years ago, I wrote a book called American Marxism. I said it's here. 6-8 months ago, I wrote a book called The Democrat Party Hates America. It's here. They're here. And in the back of American Marxism, I have a whole list of things we can do with these colleges and universities. And I'm quite pleased to say that the Republicans in the House, either wittingly or unwittingly, are going right down that list. The BDS movement against our colleges and universities, it's in the book. Defunding these colleges and universities, it's in the book. Eliminating tenure so these Marxist, Islamist, hate American Hitlerians can't be on the public dole for the rest of their lives. It's in the book, as well as much more. As well as much more. Jim Jordan will be on the program in the last hour of the program, chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. The House just voted. You see what I wrote down here. 320 to 91, 18 not voting. For the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act. And basically it codifies, that is, it makes statutorily firm what has been the interpretation of the 1964 Civil Rights Act, which does not specifically protect religion. But our president, President Trump, he signed an executive order extending the Civil Rights Act to cover Jewish students on college campuses. That's right. He did it. Jim Jordan is the chairman of the House Judiciary Committee. This is a courageous man. It's thanks to him and the Speaker of the House, Mike Johnson, that this vote got to the floor in a timely way and was voted on to codify what is effectively Donald Trump's view. And we have the usual nay voters and so forth. I'm getting emails and texts from friends, and I'm not going to mention them because they are friends. Did you see the language that was slipped into the foreign funding bill? Look at this section, $3.5 billion to import Hamas into our country. Excuse me? Oh, yes, yes. Read it. It's what it says. It's what Marco Rubio says it says. You know what's interesting to me, ladies and gentlemen? Kevin McCarthy and Mike Johnson, the former speaker and the current speaker, have done more and said more and led more in opposing anti-Semitism and supporting Israel in the vein of Donald Trump than any speakers in American history. And so now I'm supposed to believe that Mike Johnson either unwittingly or wittingly personally slipped this language into the bill to ensure that Hamas, terrorists get into the country. Well, let me explain something. Joe Biden is ensuring that, and he doesn't need any bill. In fact, he's not using the bill. He's using existing law and rules, as he always does, twisting them and destroying them. This story came out by CBS News. Nobody was talking about it. We took it national. We took it national last night. The Biden administration is considering bringing certain Palestinians to the U.S. as refugees, a move that would offer permanent safe haven, in other words, citizenship, housing, food. In recent weeks, the document shows senior officials across several federal U.S. agencies have discussed the practicality of different options to resettle Palestinians from Gaza of immediate family members who are American citizens or permanent residents. And apparently they've already allowed some 1,800 or so into the country. So my question to Marco Rubio, and it's not to pick on him in the least, he's a great patriot. But my question to all the senators, Republicans, my question to all the House members, Republicans, how does this go on without you knowing about it? We have intelligence committees. We have national security committees. We have defense committees. How did this go on without these Senate committees and House committees knowing about it? How did it happen? We have committees for committees, subcommittees, and sub-subcommittees. They say everything needs to go by order of the committee. Everything has to go through the committee. Okay. How the hell does Biden, the entire federal bureaucracy, one department after another, scheme behind Congress's back to bring in Palestinians from Gaza? How does that happen? Are they falling asleep on their job? But look at this language that was slipped in this bill. Ah, look at what's happening to our country right now, with or without that bill. How is that possible? And if the Senate didn't know about it, and the House didn't know about it, why not? Why not? When's the last time Anthony Blinken's been dragged before a committee of Congress? I can't remember. How about the National Security Advisor? I can't remember. These are the people making the decisions. It's incredible. Now, CBS goes on to attack Israel and make excuses for why this is a good thing. We don't care about that. We don't care about that. CBS goes on to talk about 34,000 people killed in Gaza, but doesn't say they got that information from Hamas, because it's a flat-out blood libel lie. But somebody tell me, any congressman can call me, any senator can call me, somebody tell me how this happened. While you're meeting in Congress, while you're holding hearings in Congress, while you have administration officials in front of you, whether it's immigration, defense, State Department officials, how the hell did you miss this? And yet they're going to tell me that Mike Johnson, who got this vote to the floor today with the help of Jim Jordan on the anti-Semitism Awareness Act that was written by Mike Lawler, who we had on last night. That he wants Hamas to come into the country? This is the crazy-ass idiocy? Are you serious? And yet this is happening under our, under Congress's eyes. They hold hearings, they give speeches, they go on TV, they go on radio, they talk, propose. What are they doing to rein in this administration? What are they doing to rein in this administration? At least give we the people the information. I got to read it from this pro-Hamas CBS news source yesterday to the nation, to 14 and a half million people. I have to read it from CBS. Where are these committees? Getting additional Palestinians out of Gaza, processing them as refugees if they have American... This isn't in the new foreign aid bill. This is today, before any new foreign aid bill. It's happening right now. Even my brothers and sisters at the Blaze, they didn't write about this. Even my brothers and sisters at Breitbart, we didn't know about this, did we? Now, we're reporting it now. It's very important. But this was concealed. That's why they didn't know about it. That's why Blaze didn't know. That's why Breitbart didn't know. That's why I didn't know. But how is it the members of the Senate and the House didn't know? Lied to? It was concealed? And what are the consequences to attack the Speaker? I'm so tired of the lack of statesmanship, the lack of serious people. It drives me crazy. As somebody who has spent really more than half a century building up the conservative constitutionalist movement, what we become, weak, petty? Well, we're going to have to fight that, America, you and I. We don't get our guidance from members of Congress. We don't get our guidance from people in broadcasting, even though I'm one of them. That's not where we get our guidance. We think for ourselves. We think for ourselves. That's what we do.
Mark Levin.
We're giving you nothing but the best. The best of Mark Levin.
Abraham Lincoln was urged to sign the Emancipation Proclamation during the Civil War, freeing the black slaves in the South. It's considered one of the greatest presidential acts in American history. Was it constitutional? I doubt it. I doubt it was constitutional. Lincoln doubted it was constitutional. But we were in the middle of a civil war. The battle for the country. If you lose the country, you lose everything, including the Constitution. And he signed it. Couldn't enforce it. Unless they won the war, of course. But it sent a signal. It sent a signal to the slaves and other blacks in the South, as well as the North, that the government of the United States, the Union, wouldn't tolerate it. What about the 1964 Civil Rights Act? People don't know that one of the great civil rights activists of his time was not Joe Biden, was actually Barry Goldwater. Back in Arizona. He was a member of the NAACP. He helped start the Urban League chapter. And as they were losing money, about to go under, he gave them money. His family owned the Goldwater department stores. When he became the chairman of the board of the Goldwater department stores at a very young age, he immediately eliminated segregation in his business. He was a leading figure for integration in the, back then, the territory of Arizona. He founded the Arizona National Guard and integrated it, if you will. But he voted against the 1964 Civil Rights Act. And he consulted another great man by the name of Professor Robert Bork. He said the law is unconstitutional. The federal government does not have this kind of power over the states. The 1964 Civil Rights Act, nonetheless, was passed by an overwhelming majority of Republicans in the House and the Senate. Not so many when it comes to the Democrats in the House and the Senate. Then we go back to the Louisiana Purchase. Thomas Jefferson had no authority to spend the funds out of the Treasury Department to do what he did. But look at all the land that was acquired. He said, it's now or never. If I don't do this now, it won't happen. It's the future of the country. Was it unconstitutional? I think it was. Jefferson, Lincoln. The Civil Rights Act of 1964, which has had a hugely important impact on this nation. I don't recommend violating the Constitution on a whim. Our Marxist friends, so-called the Democrats, they seek to destroy it in every aspect of it. So this is not a defense. I'm not a special pleader for violating the Constitution. But there are issues that are more complicated than others. And often they tend to come down to race. That's why I added the Louisiana Purchase at the end. Two of the greatest pieces of federal action in American history, the Emancipation Proclamation and the 1964 Civil Rights Act. Both of which have questionable constitutional bases. I mention this because there are a lot of people in this business who fancy themselves constitutionalists, historians, and of course they're nothing of the sort. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act, some have argued, is unconstitutional because it violates the First Amendment. And then they read from the statute, or the would-be statute that's going to go to the House, excuse me, the Senate. And in this, they are supported by the likes of Bernie Sanders, and the House supported by the likes of Tlaib and Omar, of course. They're not voting over the First Amendment. They're voting because they hate Jews. So why was this act proposed at all? First of all, it codifies, if it's passed, what Donald Trump did. With Title VI of the Civil Rights Act. Title VI has been disputed by many. But it's very, very difficult to write a statute that pleases everybody or in every respect can withstand a legal challenge. It's very difficult when it comes to free speech, the press, freedom of religion, freedom of assembly, and so forth. So what these Republicans, with some Democrats, were trying to do in the House and in the Senate was to take what Donald Trump started, and he signed an executive order, and give it the power of Congress, of a congressional act. The core of this would-be statute is perfectly constitutional. There will be debates around the fringes, certain language in the statute. There'll be a debate around the fringes. The core of it will withstand judicial challenge. But this is one of those times when an act like this is necessary. And the rest of it will have to be sorted out. It's not a flagrantly unconstitutional law. I can make a very strong case for the core of this act. The core of it. Where again, there may be some language in it that will be challenged successfully. That's the nature of how things work. But do these people think that it was a mistake for Lincoln to sign the Emancipation Proclamation? What would they have said back then? How would they have voted with the 1964 Civil Rights Act? I'm just curious. And let me remind some of these hosts, radio and TV, of something our friend Tom Rose, a friend of mine, Rose, on October 31, 2023, that he wrote for JNS. This is several months ago. The United States is experiencing the most explosive and dangerous eruption of anti-Semitism in its 250-year history. Indeed, it is absolutely unprecedented in American life. Never before have thousands of people gathered to support the mass murder of Jews with open calls for the annihilation of the Jewish state. Again, this is October 31st. Now they're talking about the extermination of the Jews, period. Worst of all, he says, perhaps this is the first and only form of any organized hatred in the United States that has been extreme nationalist in intent. Exterminationalist, I should say. Not even the most abhorrent Confederate supporters of slavery assembled to call for the extermination of all black people. Certainly, there have been elements of anti-Jewish bigotry in America since colonial times, but they would barely register compared to today. A cursory look at history reveals as much. Until the middle of the 19th century, mainstream Protestants were more anti-Catholic than anti-Jewish. Since there were so few Jews in America back then, it's not surprising that this was the case. The most infamous official act of American anti-Semitism in the 19th century was General Ulysses S. Grant, Order No. 11, issued during the Civil War to expel Jews from the border states. President Abraham Lincoln immediately revoked it and chastised Grant. The order never went into effect. No Jew was ever expelled. Grant later called it the most regrettable act of his life. He went on to become one of the most pro-Jewish presidents in American history. In 1881, Russia's Tsar issued the May Decrees, which were designed to expel Russia's Jews by making life there impossible for them. Triggered a wave of emigration that saw 2.5 million mostly penniless Jews arrive in America by 1914. The still small and well-established native-born American Jews feared such huge numbers would spark a dangerous anti-Semitic backlash. But for the most part, it did not. The worst recorded act of violent anti-Semitism was the widely publicized 1919 Georgia lynching of Leo Frank, a Jew falsely accused of murder. But there were no acts of mass violence against Jews. Henry Ford is well known to this day as one of the most powerful anti-Semites in American history. What is less known is that Henry Ford ultimately repudiated his loathsome views and closed down the Dearborn Independent newspaper, which he used to espouse them. Well, it's back. Ford denounced Hitler early on for his persecution of Jews and was later a leading donor to Jewish organizations. Not even Father Charles Coughlin, whose popular radio broadcast blamed the Jews for every ill under the sun, came close to being the exterminationalist anti-Semite against the extermination of the Jews. When the Catholic Church finally censured him for his bigotry, he quickly fell into oblivion. The most frequent expressions of what we insulated Americans used to consider anti-Semitism were the fancy hotels that banned Jews, the numerous clauses that limited the number of Jews at top universities, and the country clubs that denied membership to Jews. But today, this seems quaint compared to the outpouring of support for Hamas's October 7 rampage and anti-Semitic mass murder and crimes against humanity. What makes this celebration of the slaughter of Jews still more terrifying is that it's led by some of the best credentialed elites in our society and has attracted so many young people. Those so-called sophisticated supporters of genocide cloud their exterminationist intentions with euphemisms like decolonize Palestine, which means get rid of the Jews. Free Palestine surely can't mean free Gaza, since it's been entirely free since 2005. Never before in history has America elected anyone to Congress who dared support groups seeking the extermination of the Jews. Today, some half a dozen members of Congress either openly support Hamas or refuse to condemn it. Just as Israel can no longer tolerate Hamas, neither can we tolerate its supporters. Whoever defends or justifies Hamas must not be condemned. They must be shamed, shunned, and expelled from civil society. The longer such diabolical voices are amplified by collaborationist media and go uncondemned by leaders of their own political party, the louder their voices and the larger their numbers will become. This would constitute not just an existential threat to America's Jews, but to America itself. And you see it with the pulling down of the American flag and the raising of the Palestinian flag in the United States of America. So those so-called constitutional experts and First Amendment purists, all of a sudden, this is why the Anti-Semitism Awareness Act was presented by the Speaker and the Republican leadership in the House, supported by all but 21 Republicans in the House, and some of whom were absent. And now hopefully will be passed in the Senate and signed by the biggest anti-Semite to serve in the White House in American history. The Anti-Semitism Awareness Act is akin to the 1964 Civil Rights Act and the Emancipation Proclamation. It's intended to protect this republic from the cancerous evil and the poisonous forces within it that use our nation's liberty to destroy it.